Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, brought to you by Campbell's new chunky spicy soup. It's time to get fired up. Not a lot of firing up going on this one. Raptors lose 113-104 against the Detroit Pistons. The Raptors lost twice to the Pistons this year, which if the Raptors hold on to their pick, all of a sudden it's going to look pretty good. But this was a tough basketball game. I mean, the Raptors have some good moments for sure. They turned the Pistons over and the Pistons look quite sloppy. I mean, the Pistons looked, you know, like the old Pistons to start the year. Had a bunch of turnovers, was really disorganized on offense, and Cade Cunningham wasn't firing. I mean, he actually got benched in this game, which was strange. You didn't see him at all, basically from the mid-third quarter onward. I hope he's okay. But the Pistons didn't need him. The Pistons were able to assert their strengths, which certainly were their interior players. I mean, Jalen Duren, who somehow is only 20 years old, even though he looks like, you know, Superman, had 24 points and 23 rebounds on 8 of 9 shooting, went to the foul line 10 times. Now, some of that was intentional fouling at the end, too, but still, that man completely dominated the Raptors on the interior. And, of course, the Raptors offensively, you know, outside of quickly getting a mismatch on some of their bigs, and you know, he did a good job getting downhill, and it's been good to see his scoring. But again, like, you know, what are you supposed to take away from a game where they get just thoroughly outplayed by the Detroit Pistons, who now have 12 wins on the season? Raptors actually will not end up getting the 31st pick. It looks like it'll be the 32nd pick because of the fact that, Washington has actually moved below Detroit. In fact, Washington's already, I just checked the standings for the first time in a long time, and obviously, there's no need to check the standings for the Raptors. We're not making the playoffs, and you know, we don't need to check standings. We need to check tankathon, the reverse standings for the pick and stuff like that. But looked at the standings, and I saw the little X right beside or the little E right beside Washington in the standings, and I didn't realize, but they had already been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. Now, of course, they were never going to expect him to make the playoffs, but my goodness, there's still a month left in the season. That was quick. In any case, Raptors lose this one. You know, I'm going to split it into some of the more notable things, some of the things that actually matter, and then maybe go down towards things that aren't as much, but at the same time, maybe it's still worthwhile to hear some feedback on some of the players and their performances. I think, number one, you got to see, for me, quickly and seeing him get more and more comfortable going into the paint since becoming a Raptor has been really, really important to watch. You know, it's been a little bit of the missing part of his game. To start, when he first joined the Raptors, he just really wasn't going through the paint, was relying a lot on that floater and kind of as the first option. And in a lot of games now, you don't even see his floater. Now, I do want him to continue to use the floater, don't get me wrong, but it's a really nice counter move. And quickly did have really good touch and does have really good touch and had been shooting at a really high percentage. Like, I think when the Raptors traded for him, he was like 50% on floaters. So I'm not saying cut out a 50% shot, and there's no way. But you did see at the start, when the first like probably 10, 15 games or so, was like, you know, he's not really going into the paint as much. Like, he's not going through the paint. And, you know, when he goes to the paint, he wasn't finishing strong. Now, of course, you always thought that, okay, this is a bit of an anomaly. He's going to get better and better. His career numbers were better than what they had shown originally. But you have seen him go into the paint a lot more. And I think tonight you saw a lot of quickly actively looking to get mismatches onto Detroit's bigs. And Detroit obviously plays, you know, a decent amount of bigs. They had Jalen Duren out there. They had Isaiah Stewart. They had James Wiseman. You know, a lot of guys that quickly could try to go at, and I think he actively sought out those mismatches, strung them out on the perimeter, and, you know, we've seen this happen a couple of times. Like, we've seen him do it to, you know, Miles Turner. We've seen him do it to, who was it the other game? DeAndre Ayton. You know, we've seen him do it to, like, Nurkic. Now we're seeing him do it to these other centers. Like, there is that sort of, like, get him out in space and then use your advantage and not just settle for the three, which I guess he could pull up for three, I guess. But the better shot for him, I think, is going to the rim, especially in these matchups. And he's consistently getting there, and he's actually finishing through these hard contests as well. So I actually thought it was for me, again, we're just looking at silver linings right now, because no one's ever going to look at the result of the game and take anything from that. We all know where the Raptors are right now. But still, I thought quickly did a good job. And even the 8 of 19 from the field, which isn't a good percentage, A, part of that is because he shot 2 of 8 from 3, right? So, you know, that's colder than usual. I didn't think he took bad threes. He just missed a couple. But I also think that, like, you definitely saw three or four times where he got the contact, especially in the switches against bigs, got the bump from the big, which typically has been called for free throws for guards. But it seems like, especially post All-Star break, there's definitely been less calls. There's a big discussion about it around the league. And I talked to Mark Stein about it today, actually, on the Raptor show. And, you know, the league officially denies it, but I think the numbers speak for themselves. Like, pretty much every team except for two teams in the entire league is shooting fewer free throws post All-Star than they were pre All-Star. So I think that's pretty definitive. But in any case, I don't even mind those misses, because I think that, yeah, a lot of times, especially because of the way the league has been called the last couple of years, when the guard gets past the big and then slows up and draws that little bump, like, they're usually getting that call. So I think, again, for me, it's just about seeing growth in certain areas. And I think Quickly was able to, you know, showcase more of his slashing ability. Still give you 8 assists, 5 rebounds, no turnovers tonight. It's just a really good game from Quickly in general. And I think, he was certainly not the reason why the Raptors folded in this one. I also think that, for me, one of the standouts tonight was just Jontay Porter. Watching him continue to make good plays and sort of maintain his discipline, maintained almost his faith in good basketball, because I think you can easily come into a game like this and just start doing whatever you want. And later on this podcast, I will get into that for sure. But for Jontay, it's like, you know, he's taking this seriously. There's a real chance for him here, even though his chance is probably like third string minutes. I don't think he's going to be in the rotation that much when, Jakob and Kelly are healthy, because those guys are better. And those guys have recently been acquired and they've been signed to long-term contracts. They're both veterans in this league. They're obviously going to play ahead of him and he's going to be third string. But Jontay could have a spot on this team because he's playing well. He's hitting the threes for you. He is, again, he rolls maybe seldomly to the rim, and he's not like you compare his rolls to the basket versus like Jalen Duren's rolls to the basket. Like, there's not that gravity that goes with him, and it's also not that big and catching, and definitely not dunking that often off of those, you know, the way you would. But at the same time, his distribution from the high post, he does good stuff. And I think defensively in this one, especially with the Pistons going to the rim a lot, I thought Jontay did the best job defensively out of anybody on the Raptors. Really was able to contest a lot of shots. He's actually a +7 in his 21 minutes. 6 rebounds, 6 assists for him as well, but the steal, 4 blocks, that doesn't even account for some of the hustle plays, where one where he got the strip, and then there was a fight for the loose ball, and then that led to a shot clock violation as they were sorting out that mess for the loose ball. So that's not a steal or a block, but that is an absolute stop that Jontay was able to do. I just thought he did a great job, you know, and it was blocks where he was in the post, so it was blocks where he was rotating over, it was blocks where he's getting targeted in pick and roll. He just did a great job. And of course, he's not really a high flyer at all, so he's not blocking it like that, but he's in the right positions, and then he's using his length and he's being disciplined. He's not really getting called for fouls either, the way he's playing in this current approach. So I think earlier in the season when Jontay played, he did have a bit of foul trouble occasionally. That's going to happen, especially when you're more inexperienced and you're coming into a new team at center and also expected to block shots. But at the same time, he's not selling out to block these shots. He's really just beating guys to positions and then contesting. I've really been enjoying the Jontay Porter experience. Of course, you know, you also have the playmaking of the high post. You know, it's the style of basketball that Darko wants to play. You know, all three of his centers are playmaking types who can really throw those, like, you know, high low feeds and things like that. I've been enjoying the Jontay experience. He doesn't really take bad shots either. Did miss back-to-back free throws at one point, but I think overall he's been shooting them at a decent clip, so not too worried about that. But yeah, I like Jontay. I think he should be kept. I think the big thing for Jontay, and I mentioned this in the show earlier today as well, but it's just, how much is Darko willing to play two big lineups? Because if he's willing to play two big lineups, then all of a sudden you can see a chance for Jontay to come in more. However, having said that though, I think number one, first off, Darko hasn't really shown a willingness to. And I do feel like, okay, if you are going to play two big lineups, then all of a sudden, Jontay probably has to play the 5 for you and Kelly plays the 4. Now, Kelly's skilled enough to play 4, but I do think it kind of eats off both their plates. Right now, they're both functioning well as, like, at least offensively, as playmaking hubs on offense, as 5s who can also space the floor, you know, the passes, and they're definitely going to get more and more assists just based on the system because of the fact that the ball is in the hands of the big at the top of the floor at so many possessions that the other guys sort of look to cut around it. But still, I feel like if you play both of them at the same time, they might eat off their plates offensively. Defensively, that's where I'm like, okay, probably, I mean, it can't hurt, honestly. The Raptors are just small across the board. And that's one of the other big takeaways, or in this case, a small takeaway, is just like, you look across the board and the Raptors are tiny. Now, of course, the Pistons are a bigger than average team. There's no doubt about it. But like, when you look at it, Kelly versus Jalen Duren, I mean, like, come on, that's not even close, man. That's not even close, okay? You know, 7-footer, super athletic, you know, jacked, jumps out the gym versus Kelly Olynyk. Like, you know, come on, right? Then you got Isaiah Stewart versus who's even the four for the Raptors in this group? Like, Bruce Brown? Bruce Brown's like 6'4", and Isaiah Stewart's a legit 6'10", shooting threes on the perimeter, but also being physical and blocking some shots as well. Then you look at the matchup at the three. Simone Fontecchio, who they got from the Jazz, as the Jazz look to pivot towards a tank this year as well. Fontecchio is a shooter, is a spacer. He actually torched the Raptors earlier this year when he was playing with the Jazz. But nevertheless, he's 6'9", you know, and he doesn't crash the glass that often. That's probably not his assignment. But still, 6'9", I mean, you compare him to, like, who was he playing against? Like, Grady? Like, he's certainly bigger than Grady. Cade Cunningham is bigger than Ochai. And then Jaden Ivey is bigger than Quickley. So, like, across the board, they had size advantages. You know what I mean? And so I guess Ivy's stronger than Quickley. Quickley's maybe a slight bit taller, maybe marginally so. But in any case, like, you just had huge size mismatches. And honestly, it's not even about the across the board. It's just they don't have a single matchup for a guy like Duren. They didn't have a single matchup for when guys really wanted to play pick and roll unless the Raptors really, really sold out. And of course, that led to open threes. So Raptors size is just an issue. And of course, this is exacerbated by injuries, right? Typically, your starting five would include Scottie Barnes and Jakob Poeltl. That alone would change a lot of the things. However, I feel like even with that, I feel like the Raptors really need, ironically, and I know how funny this is after seeing the Vision 6'9 team the last 3 years, but the Raptors really do need another 6'9 forward who can come in and play some defense and kind of like really rebound, you know, provide some physicality and then just do enough offensively. And I mean, I suppose they're auditioning certain guys for this, or at least trying to see if they can do something with this. This is the part of the program where I got to talk about McDaniels. I can't resist anymore. Like, maybe on paper, you're like, okay, you look at McDaniels, he's 6'9", maybe even 6'10". He's actually quite tall. Long, you know, certainly rangy, you know, maybe he can catch and shoot for three in the corner kind of thing, but just come in and play with some intensity. That's what it is on paper. And then you order it and you get the, you know, sometimes you order something on, like, I don't even want to say Amazon, like whatever the site's worse than Amazon, like Temu or whatever. Like you see the images, you're like, oh, okay, this could be used. You know, you read the little descriptions, you're like, oh, okay, cool. Wow. Okay. All right. It does this, this, and this. Like, cool. The battery life is this, whatever. And then you order it, it comes to your house and you're like, I got gut. Like that's how I feel when I watch them. Like, number one, this is not the biggest deal in the world, especially now if the Raptors are trying to tank. Like, it's actually, I suppose, helping in that effort. But my goodness, is it bad basketball? My goodness, is it disengaged? Is it like, whoopsie, oh, my bad, kind of like head down. But at the same time, like, not really your bad because he just keeps making the same mistakes. It's the behind the back, lose your handle. It's the amount of times he goes one-on-one and tries to force things on offense. Like, you know, there's not a lot of options out there, but what? And then, like, compounding those mistakes by, like, taking a back, like, pushing the break on a 5-on-3. Like, just give it up. You're not the point guard. How do you even drive into a crowd on a 5-on-3 fast break? But drives into a crowd, turns it over, goes the other way, and the Pistons get a dunk. Or, like, let me call for the post mismatch. I'm like, hey, I'm open. I got a guard on me. You got a guard. He's 6'9", 6'10", catches the ball, doesn't even once try to back down, get closer. Instead, settles for a fadeaway, turnaround, short on the front rim. And then the other way, he gets sat down on defense. Like, and it's just like it's just such bad basketball. And, like, it's actually upsetting watching it. In a way that's like, this isn't necessary. This can't possibly be the role that Darko was like, hey, go out there and do this and this. Like, I want you to go drive into the traffic and then go behind your back. Like, I trust that move in you. You know what I mean? Like, you see Kyrie Irving, like, do that one, right? Like, it's honestly watching right now, like, I actually feel bad about what I said or what I felt or what other people watched with Aaron Baines. which was the last time the Raptors had a quote-unquote tank commander, right? The thing is, like, with Aaron, he tried hard. He, like, was he's pretty much done physically, wasn't, like, particularly skilled in the first place, but, like, he was trying, and it just wasn't clicking for him, right? Like, and I saw somebody be like, well, you know, it was like Stanley Johnson similar. Like, no. Stanley tried hard and actually had some defensive chops, right? And that's why he got other jobs and other teams and all that kind of stuff. And I like Stanley's personality as well. But ultimately, like, they tried, they were engaged, they just were limited. That happens. Sometimes that happens. You know what I mean? Like, that could be a thing. I'm not seeing the level of talent, nor do I see the level of engagement. And then the decision-making, it's just all baffling. It's all baffling. So anyway, the Raptors do need a 6'9", like, player to sort of, like, slot in, fill in some of the in-between. But they got to look elsewhere. They got to look elsewhere because I'm sorry. Like, it's just pure bad basketball. It's not like he's alone. There's other players who are not performing well. But I mean, at least with Wara, you're like, okay, there's clearly a skill set offensively there. It's just a matter of how much does he actually need the ball in his hands to make that skill set pop? Because I feel like when he does have the ball in his hands more and more, then he can showcase things like, here's a pull-up three, here's like a driving, slashing layup or whatever. But it's not like when he has to play within the flow of the offense, catch and go and all that kind of stuff, he hasn't really done a great job of that. So I think that's more of a needs to adapt. I think defensively, he's not really giving them much. So that's where, again, you're looking for anybody on this team to really play defense for you. They even gave Jamarius Ramsey a decent look here. And of course he's on the 10 day. So you might as well give him a look. I actually kind of was okay. I was like pleasantly intrigued with what I saw in the first half. I was like, okay, here comes a guy. He's got long arms, you know, pretty strong, guard. He can kind of move his feet, and he was doing a good job of just like chesting and picking up full court and just like giving a lot of effort on defense, cutting guys off. At one point he was even guarding Cunningham as well. So it was like, okay. All right. So basically like almost like a backup version of Ochai Agbaji. But then as the game went on, it was like, okay, all right, a wide open layup, miss. Another layup, miss. We're going to get open threes, miss. And so it happens. Like, guys going 1-for-7, you know, that's not too uncommon. And maybe, who knows, he could be a great shooter, but this could be just a cold night. But it was interesting. The 1-of-7, the one was the Raptors were down 10 in the fourth quarter, and the Raptors had the lead and then blew the lead coming out of halftime, and then just, you know, clearly momentum was favoring the Pistons and they're building the lead. And then Ramsey, who had up to this point had missed those layups and the threes, gets out in the fast break and slows up, and I'm like, oh, what's he about to do here? And he pulled out a windmill dunk. Now, first off, execution of the windmill dunk, really good, right? Like, you're telling me Ramsey versus Jaylen Brown in the dunk contest? Like, unless they're rigging the votes for Jaylen Brown again, like, I actually, you know, Ramsey gave like a really good windmill dunk. But it's also, like, the context. And maybe this is just, like, I could fully be acknowledging that, hey, you know what, I might be hating a little bit, or, like, I might just be an old man on this. But it's, like, you're down 11 to the Pistons on the road, and you had blown the lead, not him specifically, the team. And, you know, up to this point, you had not really contributed offensively. And defensively, he was also eventually, some of that over-aggression was getting over, the Pistons were reading that and using and getting him caught on screens and then getting advantages. But whatever, put that aside. It's like, it's just the context. You know what I mean? Like, you up 10, you up 15, you up 20, the momentum's with you and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's cool. Honestly, it might just be a cool highlight in general. Like, I don't know. I mean, whatever, you got the 2 points, it's 2 points. This might just be a matter of preference. I might just be an old man on this, but still, like, it's, and the Pistons came right back and hit a three. So it was very random, kind of out of nowhere, but it was a really good dunk. And the actual artistry of the dunk itself is quite good. What else? I think, yeah, Ochai, it's been tough because I think the Raptors would badly like to see Ochai, you know, start to feel comfortable, get into the rhythm of things. Defensively, he's giving you effort. You know, he was the defender on Cade Cunningham tonight, and, you know, he did a decent job of just in close. He's got quick feet. He fights through the screens, all that kind of stuff. He's done a good job. I mean, it's not like guys can't score over top of him. I would say he's more pesky than he is, like, shut down, cause deflections, make you nervous, make you not want to dribble, make you want to swing the ball. It's more like he works hard to contest your shot, but you can still pretty much get to your spots, and you just have to shoot over his contest because he will try and he will be there. But I think that's whatever. That's one thing. The other thing is offensively, he got 0 points in this one. It only got 3 shots up. Now, of course, it wasn't like they were looking for Ochai all the time. But typically speaking, when you see him right now, he's only ever getting offense on cuts in transition or catch and shoot threes. Like the most basic skill set, or maybe the most standard skill set that you can really be asking for in a wing player at the moment, right? And there's not that many areas where it's like you give him the ball and he does something really strong with it consistently. I think number one, I think we're seeing him miss a lot of layups right now, and really it's just a matter of like picking and choosing his spots. I think because he's very athletic, or maybe honestly right now part of it is probably he's a little anxious to score too, in terms of just like, oh, let me not screw this up, I'm cold. But he's taking off from really far out and going full speed with these layups, and he's still getting to the rim, but it's like in a weird way, and this is not, they're very different players, but like Westbrook has a similar problem where like he'll like burst and jump from odd angles and then stretch and use the athleticism, and because he's going full speed and because his touch is like just good, not exceptional, to overcome the fact that he's going so fast and at weird angles, it does lead to a lot of bounced layups. And I feel like it's the same thing for Ochai. When you go back and watch his shot attempts, and it won't take you long, it's only 3 tonight, but it's like it's a lot of that. And you know what, there's not a finesse, there's not necessarily a thought of like, ooh, I'll bounce and make the next pass. He had a couple of those next passes in transition. I think those are his 2 assists or 3 assists, but like still, I just don't think that he's, number one, defensively he's good, but like not like game breaking, which whatever, that one might be expecting way too much to say you need to be a game breaking defender, but like he's not so overwhelming on defense that it justifies giving you very little on offense. And so I think both those things have to improve, both the offensive recognition, the finishing, the catch and shoot threes, all that kind of stuff needs to improve, and the defense needs to improve a little bit too. So in any case, you know, your vets played like vets in a game like the Pistons. You know, Kelly overmatched size-wise, but gives you 19, 6, and 8 with 2 steals and 2 blocks, takes some charges. Only thing with Kelly was a bunch of turnovers tonight, trying to force feed some passes. I get it to some degree, but because the fact that, you know, the Raptors do need other guys to create offense when their main guys are out. No RJ tonight, for example, out with a personal reason, so hope he's okay. Hope everything's all good, but like, yeah, I mean, it's turnovers are still turnovers. You can't really rationalize that. And then Bruce Brown actually did really well against one of his former teams. Actually, Bruce Brown used to cook the Raptors a little bit when he was with the Pistons. I definitely remember giving him a Gerald Henderson Award here or there too, but did a good job of just cutting and going to the basket. Still has lots of record scratch moments offensively where it's like he'll catch the ball, and he's open, and then he'll just stop and look at the basket for a sec, let the defense reset, and then he typically likes to drive to the hoop afterwards. But you know, even in some of the drives, he did a decent job of, and then he also did a good job of cutting, moving around all of it. I don't know. I mean, he's not really for this current moment. I wonder in that inverse of that question is who is for this current moment, but still, yeah, Bruce played well tonight. So that's the assessment from the game. Again, the Raptors, it's really just a matter of looking at the standings and seeing what's going on. And Memphis, unfortunately, they're playing Charlotte. And if you were going to think of a team that Memphis would potentially win against, it would probably be Charlotte. But then again, if you thought the Raptors would potentially win against a team, it'd be Detroit. And yeah, Vegas had Detroit at favorites. And I thought that was kind of wild for an 11-win team. And yet, Vegas was absolutely right with this one. So before I hand out the 3 stars, going to give you a message from our sponsor. Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Raptors, Magic. Well, that's a lot of size, honestly. That's a lot of size, and we saw how much the Raptors struggled with size today. In any case, though, nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, noodles, all in a tasty, spicy broth, so it'll fill you up and get you fired up. Take your day to the next level. See if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Okay, your 3 stars from this performance against the Pistons. Your number one star, it's got to be Quickly once again. I mean, you want him to be number one star. He should be above this. 25 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal, a block. I like the block too. He was a guy who just, I forget who it was on the Pistons, but was just take a pull-up mid-range jumper and quickly rotated over and blocked him. The timing on that's pretty good. And he took the other way for a layup. But yeah, did everything really well tonight. You know, was it a Was it enough to carry them to the win? No, but at the same time, I really liked his effort. Yeah, 25-5-8 is a really good night for him. Your second, actually, it's becoming quite average for him, which is pretty cool that this is just standard for Quickly now. Your second star from this game, I'm going to give it to, I kind of want to give it to Jonte. I'm going to give it to Jonte. 10 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, 4 blocks. Did a really good job of, again, defensively was the bigger impact, but even offensively, I thought he did a good job just getting guys open and making the right passes. Where a couple times where, honestly, he fed guys and they just completely flubbed it or they made the wrong decision with it, but he made the right decisions and that's all he can do. So I'll give it to Jonte. I like them a lot tonight. And then your third star, I'll give it to... I'll give it to Bruce Brown. 17 points, 5 rebounds, or 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, a block. 8 of 12 from the field. Didn't take as many like unscripted hero ball plays, which I feel like he's been doing more of, and kind of for no reason, from in my opinion. But in any case, yeah, he did good. And hopefully it stays like that, because honestly, he should stay like that. You know, like if he doesn't force a shot, he could be pretty efficient. And I think that will make everyone feel a little bit better about this temporary situation. Your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's obviously going to go to Jalen Duren. 24 points, 23 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, 8 of 9, 8 of 10. I mean, he's just gigantic. He's such a problem. And, yeah, you know, size right now, more than anything else, size is really going to hurt the Raptors. So, again, the Raptors are playing the Magic coming up next, which is going to be a big team. But in any case, we'll still be here. We'll still be making Raptor shows. I'm actually really excited for the guests that we've got lined up for the rest of the week. Big shouts to my producers, Daniele in particular, who's really been making this happen. So we got some big guests on the show. Tune in for that. We got another Raptor, hopefully actually another Raptor coming on tomorrow. So we'll talk to him then. But in the meantime, thanks everyone for listening. Please continue to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. And you've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. Have a good night.